Our reading today comes from Meister Eckhart. Meister Eckhart lived in Europe a very long time ago, about 700 years ago, but I think that you would have liked him. He was a mystic who loved his church, and he also thought for himself, and among other things, he loved animals. So I want to share this reading. The very first word in this reading is a little tricky. The very first reading is apprehend. And just in case, for the benefit of us all, apprehend means to like to see something or to recognize or to kind of get it. So here we go. Apprehend God in all things, for God is in all things. Every single creature is full of God and is a book about God. Yes, you. Every creature is a word of God. If I spent enough time with the tiniest creature, even a caterpillar, I would never have to prepare a sermon. So full of God is every creature. Meister Eckhart, 700 years ago. So what do you think it means to be full of God? Well, God is one of the names we use to talk about the really big, mysterious things in life. Like how amazing it is that we are alive at all. And by the way, where did life come from? And how amazing it is that the world is enormous with people and animals and mountains and oceans and all of that, let alone the wide, wide universe of which we are the tiniest, tiniest little part. God is one of the words we use to talk about that mystery. And also, how amazing it is that here on this planet, creatures who seem really different from one another, whole different species, can make friends. Two creatures who are different from each other can not just understand one another, but love one another. Take Owen and Mazay. Who would have thought that a hippopotamus and a tortoise could love each other? But they did. Now, we know that this does not always happen among interspecies relationships. At my house, Taylor the dog has spent 6 long years trying to make friends with Pippin the cat. Pippin is 16. He's our cranky fella. And he really does not want to play with our dog, Taylor. But Taylor keeps trying. So she goes up and sniffs him multiple times a day, wagging her tail, hoping that maybe this time he'll play with her. Mostly, he just growls, stalks off in a huff. Sometimes he reaches out. You know how cats do, to sort of bip her. She always ducks. And she's never discouraged. Taylor is part boxer. And so she just kind of bats back at him, like with her paw, to say like, oh, is this how we want to play? I could do that, you know? I'm not sure that Pippin is ever going to want to be friends, but I think that he kind of secretly is starting to like her just a little bit. Over the years, when she is napping on the couch, she has to be sound asleep for this to happen. But once she's asleep, he'll often hop up on the back cushion of the couch and take a nap with his tail dangling down about an inch from the dog. And we call that progress in our history. Believe me. I choose to take it as a sign of hope that even cranky beings who do not much welcome difference and do not want to change might, in fact, come around eventually. I hold on to that hope. Well, I do want to tell you about a dog and a cat who have made friends. This is a really cool example. At the San Diego Zoo, has anyone ever been to the San Diego Zoo? Anybody? I have not. A bunch of you have. That's wonderful. I look forward to it someday. So zookeepers have, for years, been helping baby cheetahs and little puppies make friends. We saw just a little bit of that in the opening video. Do you remember you saw that? Once they make friends, the puppies help the cheetahs stay kind of chill and relaxed, and they play and chase each other and sleep together, and they spend their entire lives together as best friends. These creatures, who would normally be predator and prey, have found a loving connection to each other instead. So what else do you remember seeing from the video? We saw, what did we see, dogs and parrots? Dogs and crows? What else did we see? Dogs and baby chicks? Dogs and ducks? What else?
Dogs and turtles.
Dogs and turtles. I know, turtles. What? We saw... Yeah, a squirrel and a cat. Would you ever? Like, I just can't even. That would not happen around here.
A cat and a donkey.
Yeah, a cat and a donkey. Cats and iguanas? Like, what's up with the iguana? Cats and sheep. Turtles and cats. Like, who knew about the turtles? So many things. Chicks, that's right. So all these cross-species friendships, not only are they super cute, which they completely are, I think they also have something to tell us about the mystery that we call love. Animal friendships tell us that love is possible even when we limited humans would not have believed it. Love is possible across everything that divides us. And we need to know that and we need to believe it. I do want to make a practical point. Love is easier when everyone is fed. Think about it. It's actually very hard for animals in the wild to be friends when everybody has to find their own food and the meat eaters need to eat meat to survive. It's kind of hard to make friends with potential food sources when you're hungry. Which is why a lot of these animal friendships are forming, for better or for worse, in parks and zoos, in situations where the animals are getting fed and they know that they are going to be fed. And that makes me think that we humans probably have something to learn from that as well, because friendship among people is hard when some people are hungry and others never have to worry about what they're going to eat. Hey, everybody. We all good? Shout out back there. It's hard to be friends when some people have so much and others so little. And it's hard to be friends when some people feel safe and others really vulnerable. So when we look at these animal friendships, I think they're telling us that love is easier when everybody is fed and feels safe. And so if we're going to have love among the people of the world, I think that those of us who have plenty to eat need to make sure that everybody else also has enough to eat. Those of us who are used to feeling safe in the world need to make sure that others feel safe as well. And this will help. But even that is not quite enough to bring us together in friendship. It also takes love and respect. It takes a whole orientation of the mind and the heart. Just looking at our human society right now, we know that a lot of us who have enough to eat and are pretty safe in this world, objectively, still do not feel ready to reach out in friendship to other people who are different from them. Am I right? A lot of us have been thinking about our immigrant neighbors on our southern border these last few days, especially as we've been learning more and more about what's going on. And we have a lot of concern in our hearts for children and families. And a lot of us have a concern that one of the richest countries in the world, that's us, has not yet managed to agree that we should greet fellow human beings as friends in need of help. We have not managed to agree that we, in fact, have a moral imperative to reach out in friendship and treat our neighbors as if we believed what Meister Eckhart said, that God is in all things. Every single creature is full of God and is a book about God. In our tradition, we might say it in a little bit of a different way. We often say that we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of each person. The inherent worth and dignity of each person. And we try to act on it so that we treat each other, and I would add with other creatures, we treat each other with respect, with friendship, and with love, as if other people are full of God, which they are. What we teach here What we teach here is a total orientation of the mind and heart toward love and respect for all, and letting that love and respect guide our actions when it's easy and when it's hard. This is what we're called to do as individuals and as a society. We are all called to keep getting better at loving all creatures and all people with a love that is unconditional and non-judgmental. Human beings, it seems, are not able to love all that well unless we feel some sort of similarity to the other person or animal. It's easier for us to love people who seem like us, right? It's easier for us to love animals who are furry and cuddly. Just ask yourself, is it easier to love a kitten or a mosquito? However, Meister Eckhart says that the kitten and the mosquito are equally full of God. The kitten and the mosquito, the tortoise and the hippo, the cheetah and the dog, you and me are equally full of God. There is no hierarchy here. So nobody gets to be loved more or less because of who you are or what you're like or where you live or what you eat for dinner or what you do for work or what you believe. Nobody gets to be loved more or less, not human being or kitten or mosquito. We are just part of this big, big mystery. And part of what that means is that we are loved and we have the ability to love. So full of God is every creature. So this is partly why we bless the animals, to practice loving more fully, to practice appreciating every creature, both human and non-human. And this is why we bless every animal who comes here today. And this is why we will also take time to bless all the animals of the world. We are practicing how to love without judging or discriminating based on fur or feathers, language or birthplace, culture or race or species or anything. For today, just here to practice love. So may it be.